Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 395 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for your many blessings towards us. Thank you for putting our lives together and continuing to put our lives together. We come before you this morning to ask for your mercy. In any way we have sinned or erred, we pray for your forgiveness. We pray that may you cleanse us, Lord, and purify our hearts. As we hear your word this morning, may your word literally says the seed is the word. Let your word be sown as a seed in our hearts. May a harvest of righteousness come forth. Give us the grace to be doers of your word. And may your word come forth this morning with power and authority. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So today, God willing, we're going to be talking about a topic I've titled, Handling Crisis. Handling Crisis. And this is very likely going to be a series. But there's a lot of very important lessons that the Lord has for us. So without further ado, I'm going to jump right into it. Our text is going to be taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 20. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 20. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, so this is a portion of scripture that talks about David's conflict with the Amalekites. Verse 1, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carry them away, and went their way. So thank God they didn't kill anybody. That would have been devastating. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. That's not a good master. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all, and I really pray for everyone listening to this podcast. You've lost a lot over the years. I pray that you will recover all in Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Again, I pray you've lost things over the years. In Christ, you will recover all in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven from before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. All right. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right. So this is a long read, but Very important lessons for a Christ follower. And again, like I said, this is going to be a series, so we're going to camp out here for a bit, right? So I think the first question to ask is, what do you see or notice in this reading, right? To maybe give you a little bit of a context, Ziklag was a safe haven for David, right? So if you read a few chapters before, David has been on the run from Saul because Saul has been essentially jealous of him and wanting to kill him, right? So David has been on the run. So David, he actually paired up with the Philistines, and the Philistines did offer him Ziklag as a city, basically, that, hey, you can stay here, you know, you can be safe here. So Ziklag was a safe haven. That was where David and his men settled, and that was where their families also settled, right? So it was a safe haven. It was their comfort spot, right? It was their comfort zone, right? But look at this. Look at what happened later at the beginning of this scripture, right? This place was burned to the ground with fire, and all their wives, all their kids, all their possessions were taken, right? Guys, that's a crisis. That is a crisis. That is a crisis, right? Or look at the story of Joseph in the Bible, right? Joseph was living with his family, you know, everything going well, and then boom, suddenly sold into slavery, right? And not just sold into slavery. He was accused of, trying to rape Potiphar's wife. So he was thrown into prison. Like, things just kept going from bad to worse for him. Guys, that's a crisis, right? You have your comfort zone, you have your comfort spot, and you're literally yanked away from it. You're literally yanked away from it, right? Or look at the story of Daniel, right? Daniel was living in his homeland, but again, became a captive. He was yanked out of his comfort spot and taken into captivity in the land of Babylon. Right, guys, that's a crisis. That's literally a crisis. That's literally a crisis, right? That's literally a crisis, right? So, you know, all these comforts that you have just taken away, right? Literally just taken away, right? Literally a crisis can change a person's life, you know? That's why sometimes I just tell myself that, man, and it's probably like the first lesson we should learn from this podcast series is that woe to him that puts his trust in man. You really should not be putting your trust in man, guys. You really shouldn't be putting your trust in the things of this world because, again, they don't have any permanence to them, right? People can be very wealthy today and tomorrow they can lose everything, right? People can have amazing health today. They seem to have no health problems and tomorrow they get a terminal cancer diagnosis, right? So that's the first lesson you want to learn, right? You know, there's nothing of permanence in this world. The only thing of permanence is Christ. The only thing that you can count on every single time is Christ. The only thing, the only person you can count on every single time that will never disappoint you, that is always there for you, is going to be Christ, right? So that is the very first lesson that I want us to learn from this podcast, right? Woe to him that puts his trust in man. Because especially in this country, you know, in the US, where, you know, things work, you know, the law largely works, the medical system largely works. Many times we really put our hope in man. We really put our hope in science. We really put our hope in the things of this world. But guys, those things can disappoint. I mean, obviously, thank God for giving people wisdom to come up with these scientific advancements and these wonderful drugs and these wonderful procedures. But again, just remember to put your trust in God, right? And don't put your trust in a retirement account or whatever. No, put your trust in things that are eternal, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal, right? Where thieves cannot break in and steal, right? So really, the goal of this podcast was to set things up nicely, like, okay, hey, let's do the Bible reading and let's talk about, hey, what's a crisis, right? What's a crisis? Because the thing is, as you go through a crisis, there are certain active choices you need to make in the midst of a crisis so that you can come out on the other end of things doing well, right? There are a series of choices and these are not passive choices. These are active choices that you have to make. These are active choices that you have to make. These are active choices that you have to make. And if you make those active choices, you'll come out of that crisis being much stronger than what you were like when you got into that crisis. And as a preview of coming attractions, you know, against the next podcast I'm going to make in this series, I'll encourage you to listen to review James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I believe I'll talk about this in the next podcast. But again, we'll also talk about some active choices that we see that David made that made a very, very big difference in the outcome of this crisis, in the outcome of this trial that himself and his men were dealing with. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard this morning. Lord, please give us the grace to do the word. You know, we've learned about crises. We've learned about trials. We cannot stomach these things. We cannot handle these things. We cannot make prudent decisions during these trials, during these crises, in our own strength. But as your word says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, Father, the grace and the strength that we need to make active choices that are in line with your will, please, Lord, give us the wisdom, the grace, and the strength to do so. And Father, as we go through crises, as we go through trials, because honestly, it's part of the package of being a Christ follower, let us come out on the other end as pure gold. Let us come out on the other end having grown, not having been crushed by the trial, that your name might be exalted. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And Lord, I also pray for those listening to this podcast and people all over the world, people in our families that do not know you. We pray, Lord, that may they be convicted of sin by your Spirit and may they draw closer to you in salvation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, as I wrap up here, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord, again, it's the best decision you can make with your life. I'm not here to coerce you into a decision because there is a cost to following Jesus. But that cost, there is grace from the Lord and there is the help of the Holy Spirit to see you through, to guide you through. So if you do want to make that decision, I'll encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website. 254 and 287, those are salvation podcasts. They'll tell you about the cost of following Jesus. They will explain why you need a Savior. And then at the end of 254, you can say a prayer with me to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, thank you for listening to me today. I'll see you, God willing, in episode 396. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next time. Shalom.